of the family of God. All right? They barely can't see over the pulpit. Huh? All right. Anybody got anything for the Lord? You help yourself tonight. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3 to start with. Where we'll start, we're going to look at a few scriptures tonight. And I want you to listen carefully. I want to encourage you in one way. I want to motivate you, if I can, in another. All right, as we look at some scripture, and we will see just exactly what God has for us tonight. All right, it's good that I'm going to sit here tonight because I would probably not be able to stand long. I would fall over. So, in case you don't understand, I have a concussion. And I get really dizzy. So if I stop and gotta look off somewhere, I'm not crazy. I'm refocusing. Well, I might be so crazy, but that ain't why I'm doing it, all right? All right? Anybody got anything for the Lord? All right, let's pray together. Father, I come tonight. Lord, you're most wonderful. I cannot think of anything that is better than knowing I'm part of the family of God tonight. Lord, part of the church, part of this church. Lord, you've allowed me to be part of this church. There's great churches all over, but Lord, you've allowed me to be part of this church. Help me not to take it for granted. Help me to be what I'm to be in this place for such a time as this. And we're going to trust you completely. Forgive me, cleanse me, anoint me fresh, fill me with thy power. God, may your word speak to our hearts tonight. And Lord, I don't want to do nothing on my own. Lord, I want to be in the center of your will. Use me as you see fit. And I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name and amen. And, I want to be extra simple tonight, if I can at all. I want to be extra simple tonight. And I want to use a phrase in a scripture. And I want you to take it all personal. I want you to take it, everything I say, it's exactly for you. All right? This is not for just a couple of people. Everything I say is especially like you're the only one I'm talking to. Everybody understand that? You're the only one. All right? Just act like ain't nobody else in the room but me and you. And I'm going to talk to you, okay? And that's how the Word of God is. The Word of God speaks directly to us, all right? Ephesians chapter 3, to start with, the church, we've been trying to preach a little bit to the church and about us, and I did that the whole month of August and some of September. Last Sunday night, what I preached last Sunday night, you remember? What was it? His voice. Yeah, listening to the wrong voice. Whose voice are you listening to? All right? And you remember that, don't you? All right. But I want us to look and want us to pay attention to us and the church. Us inside this church. Not just the body of Christ, but us inside this church. See, you're here tonight because God wanted you to be here. This is where God wants you. All right? I believe there's others that should have been here tonight. Some couldn't be here because they're sick or they would have been here. Some chose not to come and was able to come. They chose not to come. Some are on vacation. All right? We understand this. And then there's some that should be here that don't come here no more. All right? I was going to tell you, there's some that still should be here. And because God has a work for this church, for this place, for such a time as this, okay? And a lot of people are looking for something else when God has already given it to us. And we need to use what we have. But it's going to be what you decide to do in this church, in the church. That's what we're going to center on is the three words, in the church. In the church. All right? Now, there's a lot of things you'll find in the church when you read your scripture. You'll find that I come to you because there are divisions in the church. You'll find that phrase there. But we're not going to deal with that. When we had a men's meeting, one of the things I asked the men down there a while ago, anybody mad at anybody? We got any problems? We got any grievances? And I wasn't being a fool. I was asking a question. I asked you that tonight. You mad at anybody? If you are, then there's a division in the church. And you go ahead and repent. All right? Because if you're mad, you ain't got a right to be mad. You don't have a right to be mad. Okay? You don't have a right to be mad. Okay? Not for what Christ has done and everything else. You don't have a right to be mad or upset with nobody. And if you, great peace have he that love thy law and nothing shall offend them. Where's that at? Psalms 119, 165. Mark it in your Bible. Read it every day. But you don't have a right to be mad at me or nobody else. You don't have that right. Because you don't belong to you. And the Lord ain't going to tell you to be mad at somebody. Okay? If you're mad, the Lord didn't tell you to be that way. Can I say that again? If you're mad at anybody, the Lord didn't lead that. So you're demonic, under demonic influence. Okay? And you say, well, I don't like it. Well, that's still true. And if you don't like it, you're under demonic influence. Because you don't have a choice not to like it. You don't have that choice. You don't have no choice not to like the Word of God. We okay? Now, that's a whole different message. We preached some of that last Sunday. But let's look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21. It says, unto Him be glory where? In the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. All right? To start with, unto Him be the glory. In the church. Where's it supposed to be? In the church. All right? Now, it's supposed to be in the body, right? But this says in the church. Where is He supposed to receive all glory?
In the church.
Talk to me. You're going to help me out tonight. All right? Now, let me stop right here. You're either going to pastor this church or help me pastor the church. You're either going to pastor it yourself or help me pastor it. Which is it going to be? Huh? So if you're going to help me, then help me. I'm going to ask you a question now. Unto Him be glory, where's it going to be? Now, who's going to get the glory? Christ is going to get the glory. It says, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without. The Lord's going to have to get all the glory in the church. In the church, whatever we do, He is to get the glory. If it's playing a note on a guitar, playing a note on a piano, if it's blowing a horn, playing a fiddle, playing a banjo, playing a dobro, anybody comes in and sings, if you say a poem, if you read a prayer, if you sleep, it ought to be for the glory of God. Everything we do in this church ought to be for glory. When we run a bus, it ought to be for the glory of God. When we knock on a door, it ought to be for the glory of God. When we visit somebody, say hello to somebody, shake hands. When you shake hands with somebody, comes into church, it ought to be that God give glory because you was friendly, because you was a Christian, because you was acting polite, because you was hospitable. You know, the Bible gives a qualification for me that I am supposed to be hospitable. Do you know that? Having hospitality. And as for me and the deacons, for Brother Rick, well, can I tell you? Well, that's okay for y'all too. But it's for what? It's not the people pat me on the back or you on the back, but that God might get the glory, and it's all through Jesus Christ. I'm glad I'm part of the family of God, this family of God right here. Now, I'm part of the entire family of God. I've got family in Burma, family in Kenya, family in China, family in Mexico, Canada, every state of the Union, Russia, everywhere. I've got family everywhere, but I'm glad my family's right here. All right, and I'm glad of it. But it says here, unto Him be glory where? In the church. In the church. Now, turn to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. And you might call this a lesson or a message. I don't know what you want to call it, but I'm going to try to help us. Hebrews chapter 2. And let's start at verse 9, can we? Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. But we see who? All right, I just want you to understand, that's who we're supposed to see in everything. We're supposed to be see Jesus. When I read the Bible, I'm supposed to see Jesus. If I'm having trouble understanding my Bible, keep reading until you see Jesus and you'll understand your Scripture. Because He's the main line in the Scripture. Just keep reading. He's the main line from Genesis. When it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth, that's speaking of Christ. Because nothing was made that was not made by Him. And the last amen in Revelation is for His glory. So everything in between is for Christ. It says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church, what's it say? In the church. Do you know what it's like for Brother Clark to try to motivate you to sing? Huh? Do you know, because Christ was made a little lower than the angels and done what he done for us, that we might declare him among the brethren, might declare him to the brethren. Is that not what it says? Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church, will I sing praise unto thee. All right? In the church. So when we assemble together, then we are to make sure that Christ gets glory, that God gets all the glory. Where? In the church. And then when we come to church and we worship and we praise, that we sing praise unto him, where at? In the church. But that's all of us. And why should we sing praise unto him? And why should we give him glory? Because he was made a little lower than the angels, and he died and suffered for us that he might get all the glory because of what he's done. Everything we are is because of what he's done. Everything we have is because of what he's done. And if I'm going to be like him, then I'm going to go through sufferings. What I tell you, that I may know him. My life verse, Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, plural, just like it says here in this passage we just read, sufferings, all right, and conformable unto his death. All right, he deserves all glory. Where at? He deserves us to sing his praise. Where at? In the church. So I want to make sure that we understand what needs to be done in the church. When I called you this morning at 7 o'clock, I told you to prepare yourself for worship, did I not? Last Sunday when I called you, what did I tell you to bring with you last Sunday? Anybody remember? What was it, Steve? Pray, I told you to bring your praise and worship with you. Huh? Don't fiddle with mine. Bring yours. Where did I tell you to bring it to? In the church. What I told you. Told you to bring it to the church house. When you come to church this morning, bring your praise and worship. Huh? So what did he do for you? What did he do for you? Think about it. What did he do for you? Now, even though we're given time for testimonies, we don't always take advantage of that. That's okay. Sometimes you don't feel led to do that, and that's fine. That's no problem. I'm not criticizing that. But can I tell you, you know what he done for you. You know what he saved you from. You know where you was at. You know how low you was. You know the sins that he's forgiven you. Correct? So it should not be an issue when we come to his house, when we come in the church, to bring our praise and our worship with us when we come, because it's going to be to him. Do you think, and could you even visualize what would happen if you got it out of the box, if you brought it and turned loose your praise and worship out of the box? Because you'll say, well, I brought my praise and worship. Yeah, but we didn't know it. It was in the box. You had it boxed up. We didn't see it. We didn't hear it. You had the batteries out or the switch off. You may have brought it with you, but nobody knew it. Huh? And I'm just wanting you to know that when we come in the church, there ought to be an atmosphere of holiness, of worship. That when you come in, it's not the time to walk in the door giggling and joking, but there is a presence of holy worship because you brought your worship with you. Because He is to get the glory. And He is to get the praise. And we're to come in, but we're going to sing His praise. Huh? Yeah, we're going to sing praise and declare Him to the brethren. When you come to church, that's not the time for you to testify to the lost people here and tell them you need to get saved. If you didn't tell them out there, don't take my time telling them here. Did y'all understand what I said? You need to declare Him among the brethren. Brother Dennis, you need to holler over, "Hey, Steve, boy, Jesus is wonderful." Steve, you need to holler back there and say, "Hey, Chris, Steve is wonderful. Jesus is wonderful to me." You need to holler back. Sammy, you need to holler back there and say, "Hey, Judy, Jesus is wonderful. Declare Him among the brethren." You know what the book says? If I'm wrong, if I'm interpreting this wrong, God tell me. I'm just wanting you to understand that He's to get all the glory and all the praise. Is that not why we come here? I asked you, was it last Sunday morning? Or Sunday morning before last? I asked you, why do you come? Why do you come to church? Can I ask you again tonight? Why do you come? Why do you come? Now, I don't know what everybody does, but if you don't tithe, and you won't sing, and you won't pray, and you won't praise, and you won't worship, why do you come? Why do you come? Who's it for? Huh? I ought to come and bring my tithe because it belongs to the Lord. The Bible says the tithe belongs to the Lord. That's what it says. He says all praise belongs to the Lord, so I ought to bring my praise. I ought to come to worship the Lord, so I ought to bring my worship. I ought to give Him glory because He deserves all the glory. So when I pray, there's only one I pray to. What is it they ask Jeffy? Huh? You pray, when you pray, you know the movie Chevy. Chevy said, when you pray, you act as if you're talking to God. And he said, well, who do you talk to when you pray? Right? So when we pray, so all of us to the Lord. So if you don't do that, why do you come? What's the purpose of being in the church? Are you following my thoughts tonight? Okay, well, let's look on. Now, when we talk about in the church, in the midst of the church, in the church, in the midst of the church, all right, he ought to receive glory without limitation in the church. Now, it's harder to give Him glory out there. It's hard to give Him glory around a bunch of drunks, dope heads, all the cussing, all the nudity, everything that we are involved in the world, trying to just go to the store. To go to Food Lion. Some of y'all will go, I see you there, I've done it myself, go to Walmart or Food Lion after church. And when you're in there, and they may be worldly music playing, there'll be people cussing, there'll be people coming that don't have enough clothes on that you couldn't knit a hummingbird a pair of leggings. Okay? They ain't got nothing on. All right? It's hard to go through the store singing, "Man of Sorrows, what a name." It's hard to do that but in here, in the church, if I bring my praise and my worship, giving Him my glory for what He's done in my life, then it's the easiest place in the world for you to bring yours in the church. We okay? That's why it's important. That's why you get fed in the church. That's why you get strength in the church. That's why when you ain't able to come to church, that's why you get weak. We okay? We still okay? In the church, his name is to be the main name. Right? In the church. We sing praise, everybody still follow me. Just simple, okay? I told you I was going to be so simple tonight. Is that really simple? You boys understand that? Elbow him. See if he understands. Elbow it. You understand it? I'm just teasing. Hear me. Now, let me ask you this. Everybody look at me. Are you in the church? Are you in the church? Let's start. Are you saved? Are you truly saved? I'm asking y'all a question. You're either going to pastor the church or help me pastor the church. Huh? Are you saved?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, is it a shame for you to say if you're saved? Huh? Hey, if somebody hollered here, "Who are you, a Republican?" Yes, I am. Now, whether anybody likes it or not, I am. Okay? Actually, if I'm saved. Yeah, I'm saved. I'm just learning how saved I am. Y'all saved?
Yeah.
You still ain't got it. I don't know that you're convinced of it. I'm convinced I am. Listen, I'm serious with you. Are you convinced you're saved?
Yeah.
Are you saved?
Yeah.
Well, you ought to tell somebody. Declare his name among the brethren. Sing praise unto him. Huh? That ought to be our conversation. That ought to be because we come in the church to do that. Okay? There's nothing wrong with telling somebody you caught a 6-pound bass. There's nothing wrong with telling somebody you killed a 20-point buck. There's nothing wrong with telling somebody you baked a beautiful cake. Huh? There's nothing wrong with that. All right? But if he ain't getting glory, and he ain't getting praise, and we're not declaring his name in the church, then we're failing for the purpose of coming in the church. And I know you may be bashful. Then just tell your wife. Tell your husband. All right? Tell your kids when you get out of the car, "Hey, I'm glad I'm saved. We're going in the church house." Well, just if you can't do that, just tell them. Huh? I'm trying to get you to understand there's something that needs to be going on in the church. All right? Now, there's always something going on at the church. Yeah? Daryl come over the other Friday. I may have told you. Daryl come over the other Friday morning. He was feeling bad. He didn't sleep. He come over to do the bills and everything. He came over at 4 in the morning. And there was people leaving the church. On a Friday at 4 in the morning, there was people leaving the church. Daryl told me, he said, "It don't matter what time you go over, there's somebody at the church all the time." Huh? When the phones worked right, I'd go in my office. And sometimes I would come over at 3 in the morning. I come over to study, to pray. And you know, people will call me at 3 in the morning. Now, I don't know how people that live 30 miles away know I'm at the church. They expected me to answer. Because I answer and say, "Hey, preacher, we've got a question for you." Well, why are they up at 3 o'clock? Think about it. My point is, there's always something going on at the church. There's somebody cleaning. There's somebody fixing flowers. There's somebody moving gravel. There's somebody painting a line. There's somebody fixing a faucet or working on a commode. There's somebody fixing a lesson, running copies. There's somebody doing something all the time at the church. But boy, when we come in the church, because there's a lot of activity at the church. But there ain't a lot of activity in the church. Are you in the church? Are you saved? That's the first question. Are you saved? Now, are you in the church? Maybe you don't feel right. Are you a member? Well, maybe you ought to be if you ain't. Well, I was going to tell you, you do ought to be. You ought to make sure you're a member of the church. Maybe that'll free you up. Maybe because you ain't a member, you'll say, well, I'd be freer if I was a member. Well, then you know how you can't be a member if you don't join. First stipulation, you need to be saved. Second stipulation, you need to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And then that's the only stipulation. We don't vote on you. You don't vote on people coming to the church. That's old mountain mentality. Okay? You don't vote. I want to serve God. What we got to vote on? That's foolishness. Okay? You want to join the church, you come, you let me know. We sit down, make sure you believe like we do. There ain't going to be no controversy. And then, come on, join church. Come forward and tell everybody, hey, I want to be a part of this church. We said, well, we're glad to have you. Then not how we do it. Huh? So are you in the church? Are you in the church? Are you in the church? Are you part? Or should I say it like this? Are you in the church participating? Do you participate? You say, you know, I just don't feel welcome. Well, do you ever talk to anybody? Do you ever come to the functions? When we have a senior thing, do you come? That you might know the other old people? Do you come to the youth activity so you know the rest of the kids? Do you come to Sunday school where you can be in a Sunday school class and have your name written down that you're in a Sunday school class? Are you a participant? Or you just go to church. You're not in the church. See, they're just some simple thoughts. Are you in the church? So, well, nobody ever talks to me. Well, you get here five after when the service starts. You leave during invitation. When are we going to talk to you? Well, preacher, quit preaching. I need to talk to him to see if he got any fish in his pond. Now, I may be preaching to the choir here. The message is in the church. We okay? Are you a participant? Are you a participant? We got an adult choir. Are you a participant? Why can't you sing? Well, we can't hear you from the sound of it last Sunday. It was pitiful last Sunday, wasn't it, Clark? We're learning. Are you a participant? Well, I want to work in the church. Well, come tell me. I don't know if you want to do something. First thing I'll do before I put you with the kids, can I go ahead and tell you? I want everybody to understand where I'm at. Before you go work with the kids, the first thing I do is look and see if you're a sexual predator. That's the first thing I do. If you ever come to me and say, I want to go in a class, the first thing I do is call up and see if you're a registered sex offender. That's the first thing I do. Huh? You know why? Because I have to. I have to. Who would you ever thought you had to do that in the church? Huh? Now, does that mean that you can't do something else? No. I just want you to understand the things that has to be done. But are you a willing participant? Are you a willing participant? That goes back to singing. That goes back to testifying. That goes back to praying at the altar. When we have altar prayer, we come pray about something. Are you a participant in a function? Will you come to homecoming? Or will that be the Sunday you decide you don't want to come? When we need something baked, are you willing to bake it? When a home needs that food brought in, are you willing to do it? Are you a participant? I'm just throwing things out there to want to know, are you in the church as far as participating? Or do you go to church? There's a difference in being in the church and going to church. We still okay? I'm about finished, all right? Let's look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Just want us to think a little bit, challenge you a little bit, all right? Everybody's welcome. Everybody's free. If there's anybody in bondage, you done it yourself. You tied yourself up. Because I don't put nobody in bondage. As far as I'm concerned, you're free here in the house of the Lord. You're free. As long as it's scriptural. That's the only thing. That ain't a bond. That's a guide. Huh? But people say, well, I feel all bound up. Well, you tied yourself up. Okay? Cheryl, I'm glad you're okay. Well, Cheryl sticks with me. Y'all might learn some things. You're either going to pastor the church or you're going to help me pastor the church. Which you going to be? Huh? Now, the only reason I'm saying that is because Dennis Kincaid told me that he had heard that from a wise preacher. And Dennis shared it with me, and that's what he told me. You're either going to pastor a church or you're going to help somebody pastor a church. So if y'all ain't going to pastor this church, y'all help me, because I am. Okay? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Very interesting chapter. A lot of people stay away from it because it's about the gifts. And we that are Baptists don't believe in gifts, even though the Bible teaches gifts. Because we don't understand gifts, so we avoid it. We avoid what we don't understand. Right? Okay? Let me tell you where you'll learn. Come enroll in the Bible Institute, and you'll learn about these gifts here in a couple of weeks. And it'll be right. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's look at verse 27. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Right? And God has set some
in the church.
And God has set some in the church. Now look what he done. Look what the three main gifts are in the church. Apostles. Well, there ain't none here. Because you have to see the resurrected Christ in person. And we have not done that. That was a requirement of an apostle. You had to see the resurrected Christ. So ain't none of us apostles. Secondary, prophets. Well, ain't none of us prophets because the Bible's already complete and there's no new prophecy. Okay? And then thirdly, what? The first three things in the church are for the spreading and the teaching and the proclamation of the Word of God. That ought to be what everybody in this church focuses on, is the proclamation of the Word of God. The apostles spoke the divine revelation from God. The prophets spoke what was going to happen, that God had told them was going to happen, and the teachers, pastors and teachers, then teach the Word of God as the way that it is written. That's the three first things in the church. And can I tell you, the most important thing is either to be teaching or being taught. If you're not teaching, you ought to be willing to be taught. Right? And everything has to be surrounded around the Word of God. It's not a social club. It's to come to hear the preaching of the Word of God, the teaching of the Word of God. And can I tell you tonight that it's all of our responsibilities who are in the church to make sure that we are surrounding ourselves with the Word of God, because that's the main thing. Then it says after that, then it talks about other gifts. But the first foremost thing is the teaching of the Word of God. Are we okay? There's no need for us to go no further. So it says, after that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Okay? That's what it says, after that. But the first thing is the Word of God. We try our best to major on the Word of God. We major on the Word of God in Sunday school. That's why we don't use Sunday school quarterlies or Sunday school literature in the adult classes. All right, we major on the Word of God. The classes downstairs are majored on the Word of God. There's other things taught, yes. We try to teach the boys how to be men. We try to teach the girls how to be women. Now, some are don't like that teaching because they're already taught that at home and the kids don't want to hear that. I understand that. But there's other people that you can influence by being a participant in the Sunday school classes, even though you know it, and you can show that it's okay to know these things and we'll be together. Because we're not going to teach anything that's unbiblical. Okay? And we changed, even though we was Bible-based on Wednesday night for years, we went even more Bible-based with the new curriculum in Special Forces. Where is all that going to be done at? In the church. What's the purpose of it? That we that's in the church might grow up in the church unto the unity of the faith, that we not be carried about with every wind of doctrine, huh? That we be in the church, giving God the glory, giving God the praise, singing His praise, teaching His praise, being a part of all the workings, that we all become together in the church. We even use the old term, when somebody's not in church, what do we say? They're out of church. But when they repent, what do we say? Well, they got back in church. Is that not what we say? Y'all know that term? They got back where? In church. They didn't just go to church. They got, when they repented and got right or whatever was going on, they got back. In fact, there's some of you tonight that's been asked, are you in church or not? That's not true? You in church, you out. Because there's a difference. We still okay? All right. Listen, all ministry has to start in the church. You can't have a private ministry. It's got to be in the church. It's got to be in the church. Think about that. You can't go off on your own. It's got to be in the church. There has to be accountability in the church. Okay? If you're a preacher, that's great, preach. But it's going to have to be in the church or sanctioned in the church, if you would, or supported in the church. Okay? We okay? We still okay? Through the church, in the church. The gifts are in the church. When you read about all the gifts in chapter 12, it's for in the church. It's not for out in the world. It's for in the church. I want you to understand tonight the importance of being in the church. In the church. Are you in? Are you in? Huh? I'm in. Butler, what did you tell us a couple years ago? I'm all in. Is that what you told us? Well, you have been. You've been all in. You know, that ought to be what we all say. I'm all in. I'm all in. Did you ever pick up somebody and they didn't get the door closed? And you said, get in. Are you going to get in or out? Yeah. Or did they holler, wait a minute, I'm not in yet. But they were trying. Well, but the purpose was to get in. I want to encourage you tonight to get in. To get in the church. I've been reading about the church, and I just hit me in the church. I don't want to just come to church. I want to get in the church. Huh? I want to get in. I want to get in on the singing. I want to get in on the praying. I want to get in on the praising. I want to get on to spreading the word. I want to get in on teaching the word and preaching the word or being taught. Can I tell you, I've never enjoyed being taught more than I have the past 7 weeks I have in all my life. To being told, well, you're wrong. I said, well, thank you. You know what Jerry Rest said the other night when we had that the first video we showed on Sunday night? Jerry Rest said, well, that was a nice holy punch to the throat. Thank the Lord. That's what he said. That was a nice holy punch to the throat, wasn't it? Thank God we can be taught. Thank God we can teach. And you that teach, man, don't take it for granted. You're teaching the greatest thing ever to be taught. If you're a preacher, when you proclaim, when you open up the book to preach the word, it's the great. I have the greatest job, the greatest calling ever could be to preach the word. And I try to do it in the pulpit. I try to do it out in the world. I try to do it in the hospital bed. I done it, tried to do it when they loaded me up in the helicopter. When they loaded me up in the ambulance, I tried to proclaim the word of God because it's a joy. Because it's the teaching. Huh? I'm not an apostle, I'm not a prophet, but boy, I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher. So, it's all in the church. But, are you in? Are we in?
Yes.
Huh? Are we going to give glory in?
Yes.
Are we going to praise in?
Yes.
Huh? We're going to go ahead and teach in?
Yes.
We're going to learn in?
Yes.
You know that, you read over, where is it? In Acts, where it says that they was most noble, they were more noble than the Thessalonians because they went and searched the scripture to see if them things was true. If you'll read all that, it tells you how to listen to a sermon or a lesson. If you'll read that verse together, there in Acts, I ain't going to turn to it myself, but you turn to it sometime in your reading, and it'll tell you how to receive or how to listen to a sermon. Okay. You're obligated to listen to a message and a teaching in a certain way and take it that we might be in the church, one body, one mind, one accord, praising the one Savior, the one God, with the one word, huh? Seeking one more. Father, thank you for a sure word. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go on.